All right, the verse that I want to focus on in this chapter is verse number 9, where the Bible reads, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." And what I want to talk about tonight is being wasteful. You know, wasting your time, wasting your life, wasting your money. You know, everything that we have is given to us by God. And we want to make sure that we don't waste that which God has given to us, that we have an appreciation for what we have. Go to James 4, if you would. That's where I'm going to start this morning. James chapter 4, toward the end of the New Testament, I want to talk about not being wasteful, not wasting your life, your time, your money, your resources. Go to James chapter 4, verse number 13. The Bible reads, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain." James 4:14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So what God's explaining here is that your life in the scheme of things, when you look at the scheme of eternity, and if you look at the history of the world, and if you look at the history of the Bible, your life is a very short time when you think of it in those terms. And he said, your life is like a little vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. Sort of like on a cold day, and you breathe out, and the water that comes out of your mouth, the moisture in your air, in your breath, becomes a little cloud. You know, on a cold day, you can see your breath, but does it just remain? No, it appears for only a moment, and then it's gone. You think about steam coming out of a pot as you're boiling water on the stove. It only appears for a very short time. Your life is like that vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And he says, you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. You don't even know if today is your last day on this earth. You don't know if you'll die tomorrow. You have no idea. No man knoweth the day of his death. No one can determine when they're going to die. And so here we see that people often talk about what they're going to do in the future. And boy, a year from now I'm going to do this. And you know, I think I'm going to start soul winning in 2013. Or, you know, I'm going to, when as soon as I grow up, I'm going to start serving God. But right now I'm young. I'm going to just keep on living for myself and so forth. No, you don't know. If you know to do good now and you don't do it now, it's a sin to you now. He said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Don't talk about what you're going to do many years from now. You may not even be alive many years from now. And your life is so short, it's a vapor. You need to not waste any part of your life or any part of your time. Go to Ephesians 5. Go back just a little bit to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 14, the Bible reads, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." That means looking around, aware of what's going on around you. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." God's saying, if you don't redeem your time, you're a fool. The opposite of redeeming the time would be wasting your time. You know, redeeming the time, for example, let's say you have a bottle. You know, you want to understand the word redemption. Think about on the bottom of a bottle. Let's say you live in California and you buy a bottle. Who here is from California? Several people. Okay, everybody in Arizona is from California. Well, on the bottom of the bottle, it says, you know, redemption value, 5 cents. Okay? Because they don't want you to waste the bottle. They don't want you to just throw it away. And I think it's dumb, and that's, you know, I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, they don't want you to waste it. They want to reuse it. So they want you to redeem it. And basically, you turn it in for 5 cents. Well, if you throw it away, you're wasting your 5 cents, is basically what goes on. But, of course, we all throw it away. And so, what the Bible is saying here is that we should, if we waste our time, we're foolish. We need to redeem our time. That's what the wise person will do. And he says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Turn to Colossians 4, just a few pages to the right in your Bible, Colossians chapter 4. See, he's saying, you know, people waste their time. Life's not about drinking. And a lot of people today are going to waste their day today. Isn't today, am I wrong about this? Is today Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes.
A lot of people are going to waste their day today, and they're going to waste their brain in the process because they're drinking today. And the Bible says, don't you get it that we need to redeem what little time on earth that we have because the days are evil, and you're going to spend your day drinking yourself into a drunken stupor watching a football game? Why don't you redeem the time? Why don't you be filled with the Spirit today?
Amen.
Instead of being filled with spirits today. Be filled with Budweiser today. Be filled with the Spirit of God today.
Yes.
Hey, instead of watching the game with your drunken buddies, why don't you be in God's house singing praises to God?
Amen.
That'd be a great way to spend your day. That's what the Bible says. He contrasts those two things. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a worthwhile thing to do with your time, by the way, praising God. Whereas getting drunk is a waste of your time. It's a waste of your life. You're not going to gain anything from that. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Those that are without, he's saying, that are outside of the faith, that are outside of church, that are outside of salvation. You know, it could mean any of those things, just those that are without. Could to be talking about saved or unsaved people. But he's talking about those that are without. He says, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. He said, pray for me that the door would be open, that I might boldly speak the mystery of Christ. He said, I want to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. He's saying, pray for me that I can preach God's word to the lost. Pray for me that I can go outside the four walls of the church, out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in that God's house may be filled. Pray for me that I may be able to speak God's word and the mystery of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ unto the lost. That is a good redemption of your time. That's a good way to use your time. He said, don't waste your time. But go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 in the Old Testament. Right after the book of Psalms is Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. Because we don't want to waste our time, but not only that, we don't want to waste any phase of our life. We don't want to waste our youth. Now, I've noticed that in today's generation, most people waste their youth.
Yep.
It seems like they get to a certain age, then they wake up, and then they realize, hey, I need to start serving God. Hey, I need to get in church. A lot of times it's when they have children. Once they have children, they stop and realize, wait a minute, I have a responsibility to these children. I need to teach them and guide them. It's time for me to get serious about life. But oftentimes they've already wasted so much of their life. They'll waste their whole teenage years. They'll waste their whole 20s. They might even waste into their 30s. And then all of a sudden, they finally wake up. Young people, listen to me. Teenagers, listen to me. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your youth. Now, your youth is when you're the strongest. Right? I mean, look, let's face it. When you're 20, 30, I'll include 30 in that. When you're 20 or 30, you've got more strength than when you're 40, 50, 60. Now, I've noticed. I still consider myself young. I'm 30 years old. I would say that I'm still young in my physical prime. But you know what I have noticed, though? I've noticed that when I have any kind of an injury, like let's say an athletic type of an injury, I've noticed that when I was younger, I would recover quicker from that age. So even at age 30, which is still young, still in my prime, I believe, I've noticed a change from my youth. And I bet you when I'm 40, you know, it's going to take even more recovery time. And your body changes. And when you're 50, you know, let's say you pull a muscle, let's say you do a strenuous workout, it's going to take more recovery time. Because you're getting older. The body gets older. You have the most strength. You know, somebody who's 20 has all kinds of strength, all kinds of energy, fastest recovery time. I mean, they're in a prime of physical health, but they don't have the brains, listen to me now, often they don't have the brains or the wisdom to put that energy, to put that physical prowess and that sharp mind of the 20-year-old and the 25-year-old into good use. And so then by the time they realize, wait, I need to be serving God, they're 50. And they still you know, have a lot of strength. They still have a lot of energy. But you know what? They wasted a lot of good strength and energy too, all those decades of wasting their life. Don't waste your youth. Look at Ecclesiastes 11:9. The Bible says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart." He's saying, do what you want to do, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You see, there's consequences for your actions. If you're a young person and you say, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to live life for my pleasure and my fun, God says, no, just go ahead and do it, but just know God's going to bring you into judgment. God's going to chasten you and chastise you for that as a believer. You're going to reap what you sow. You know, and my old pastor used to say, you know, you can't sow your wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. You know, if you sow the wild, you're going to reap what you sow. And he says, therefore, verse 10, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He's saying, look, living the kid life and the childish life of youth, he said, it's vanity, it's a waste. That's why he says in the next verse, chapter 12, verse 1, remember now. Now. He's saying when you're young, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And he begins to describe old age. He says in verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. He's saying when you get older, your eyesight becomes a little bit dimmer than it was when you were younger. He says in verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. He's talking about the fact that when people get older, have you noticed that they begin to tremble? They can't hold that steady hand that they used to have. They begin to shake and tremble a little bit. He said that the strong man shall bow themselves. Basically, he's saying, you know, as you get really old, you're maybe not going to stand up really straight and tall with your big, strong shoulders back. You know, you begin to bow yourself a little bit. You begin to be a little bit hunched over. He says, and the grinders cease because they're few. The grinders is talking about your teeth. Of course, there are the incisors in the front. The grinders are the teeth in the back. And he says, the grinders cease because they're few. Your teeth begin to fall out. In many cases. Those that look out of the windows be darkened. Again, a reference to dim eyesight. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Of course, the older you get, the earlier you get up in the morning. You know, you rise up at the sound of the bird. And he said, let me find my place. He shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. That's talking about the fact that your hearing is going to begin to fade. And the volume will begin to go lower. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. You know, when you're young, you'll go on that roller coaster. You know, you'll go bungee jumping. You'll go skydiving. You'll do like a, you know, the older you get, that stuff seems less appealing. Heights. He says, fears shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. And desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting older, and everybody today wants to fight old age, you know. They want to dye their hair to make it seem like they're younger. They want to take all kinds of drugs and hormones to try to, you know, I saw an advertisement that said, it was in a magazine or something, or I think I might have heard it on the radio or something, but I heard this advertisement, they said, you know, the reason that you're, you know, you're not feeling like you did when you were in your 20s, you know, now that you're 40 or 50 is because of these, you know, as you get older, your body naturally stops producing some of the hormones. So we're going to inject you with that and make you feel young again. But wait a minute. If that's the way God designed it, I don't want to inject it and try to, you know, fool my body into thinking that I'm 20 again. You know, as you get older, sometimes when people get older, they put on a little bit of weight as they get older. That's normal. That's natural. That's part of the aging process. And your hair is going to turn gray. And the Bible says the hoary head, meaning the white-haired head, the hoary head is a crown of glory. if it be found in the way of righteousness. And so, I'm not trying to fight old age. I don't think you should either. He's just explaining this is what happens. The body begins to grow old. Your hair is going to turn gray. Your sight is going to be dim. Your hearing is going to become dim. That's just part of life. But he says, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth so that you can serve Him with the height of your strength. With all your might and all your strength. Don't waste your youth. Use your youth for the glory of God. And don't use it... And by the way, I've noticed this amongst... It's not just men. Because, you know, we think of young men going out sowing their wild oats, wild, partying. Today, it's the women, too. Young ladies will be 17, 18, 19 years old, and they have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in reading the Bible. They have no interest in the preaching of God's Word. They have no interest in soul winning. What do they want to do? They want to go out and drink and party and be a whore and do all these things. And you know what? It seems like once they've got a couple of kids and once they finally wake up and realize, then all of a sudden they go to the Creator. Right. They go to God's Word. They go to the Bible. But wouldn't it have been so much better if they could have remembered Him before that? Before they've messed up their life, before they've got baggage from the past, and before they've wasted so many years. You know, please listen to me, children. Do not waste your youth. Use your youth for honor and glory of God. Look, you may not have the freedom that an adult has. Maybe you're a child. You should be reading your Bible. Because the Bible that you're reading now will make sure that you have the information you need. When you go out to get married and you begin to date and be around people of the opposite gender in order to look for someone to a wife or a husband, respectively. And so you need to know what the Bible says about that. And then one day you're going to have children. And by the way, when my first child was born, I didn't go, oh man, where's the Bible? Quick, what do I do? How do I raise this child? No, I was learning that as a kid. I was learning that when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You've got to use your youth to learn. Now, even the world understands that the youth is a time of learning. That's why they send kids to school all day long to learn, right? I don't want to learn what they're teaching. What I want my children to learn, in addition to facts and English and math and history and science, you know, the main thing I want them to learn is God's Word, the Bible. And the Bible will teach you about all those other things also. But I want them to learn God's Word. And so youth is a time to learn God's Word so that you don't mess up your life. If you're a child, if you're a teenager, if you're a young adult, you should be heavily reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, studying the Bible, getting into every church service you can, listening to every sermon, hanging on every word that proceedeth out of God's Word here. You need to be studying and learning so that you can, when you become an adult, you can make the right decisions, so that you can make a living, so that you can provide for your family, so that you can be wise as you have a marriage and raise your children. Don't waste your time on video games and playing and partying and all these things. Now look, I'm not against having fun. I'm a person who likes to have fun. I like to do things that are fun, but life's not all about fun. Fun is a very small part of life. And when your whole life consists in just how much fun can I have, you're wasting your life. Right. Because you don't get a reward in heaven for how much fun you had. Having fun doesn't get people saved. It doesn't stop people from going to hell when you have fun. It doesn't put food in your refrigerator when you had fun today, and then food appears in your refrigerator, and money appears in your bank account. And knowledge appears in your mind. Have you ever noticed that some people have a lot more knowledge than other people? It's because they took the time to learn and to study and to read and to get that knowledge. Have you noticed that some people have a lot more money than others? Part of it is that they went out and worked and spent their time earning it. Other people sat around not working, and then they want to have the same amount of money as the people who spent their life working. I mean, some people, they when they're 18 and 19, they're working, and they're working 60 and 70 hours a week. They're going to have more money. And then other people want to sit around and be a career student. They want to go to class for 4.5, 5 hours a day, and then just the rest of the time, just fool around. They want to work 5 hours a day. They want to go to 5 hours of class, a couple hours of studying and homework, and then they want to just horse around the whole rest of the day, fool around. And then they're like, pay off my $100,000 student loan. You owe me a living. I don't owe you anything.
Right. Amen.
You wasted your life. You wasted your time. Now, I don't recommend going to college. You know, I went to college for several years. You know, everything I learned outside of college, not in college.
Right.
And I don't want my children to go to college. But, you know, when I went to college, you know, at least I worked a job and went to college. So that I paid my bill. I didn't rack up all this debt. I paid the bill as I went. And I had some expensive tuition at times. You know, my tuition was $500 a month just for tuition. Not including books, or that didn't include, you know, I was married and had kids. That didn't include a place to live or food or anything. It was just tuition. $500 a month. I was paying that tuition. But you know what? I didn't go into all this debt because I worked and went to school at the same time. Okay, but the bottom line is, so many people are just wasting their youth. And by the way, sitting in those college classrooms is a waste of your time.
Right.
I mean, I know people who get out of there and they don't make a lot of money. I've seen people come out of there with a 4-year degree and they're making low wages. I've seen other people who didn't go to college at all making lots of money. So, you know, this idea that going to college just automatically means you're going to make a ton of money, it just isn't true. It's a great advertising campaign by these colleges that want your money. But it just simply isn't true. It doesn't really just guarantee you that you're going to make a lot of money. And people are constantly asking me, well, how are your kids going to make any money if they don't have a college degree? I always tell them, well, I don't have a college degree. And I've made lots of money in the past. How did I do it? It's just working. You go to work, you learn things, you study, you can do it. And so college is not just the end-all, be-all. I spoke in a college this week. A college classroom at ASU. The class is called Religious Extremism. You know, so they had me come in as a guest speaker. I don't know. I still can't figure out why. But they had me come in. And I preached to the students for an hour and 45 minutes at ASU. That was a quality use of their time. But you know what? I mean, is that bizarre? Your tax dollars are paying for kids to study religion. Why don't they just go to church? I mean, if they want to study religious extremism... Hey, it's on the corner of 48th Street and Southern. Right? I'll give you an A+. Go down there, you know? And so they come, you know, they go to college, they pay all this money to hear me preach when they can hear me preach for free whenever they want. Just Google religious extremism. It'll probably bring up a picture of me. So, you know, it's just funny that you know, they have to pay and go through all that and get scholarships so they can hear me rattle my cage for an hour and 45 minutes when they could have just heard that at church anytime they want for free. Okay? Anyway, let's go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. So you don't want to waste your youth. You don't want to waste your time when you're a young person. And I think that's the group that probably wastes the most of the time. But you know who else wastes a lot of time? Not only do the very young waste their time a lot, playing around, fooling around, and I'm not against having fun, but fun should be a special treat. It's sort of like this. I'm not against eating a candy bar. I'm not against eating a piece of chocolate cake. But I don't eat chocolate cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's bad for you. That's going to make you sick if you just eat cake and chocolate and candy all day. Now, is an occasional piece of chocolate cake or candy going to hurt you? No, it's good for you. Every once in a while. And that's how fun is in life. Every once in a while, you take a break, you do something that's just pure fun, okay? Just pure sugar, pure chocolate, pure candy. But you know what? When you wake up in the morning, you need something with a little more substance than that. Like, how about some bacon and eggs? How about a piece of toast? How about a muffin? How about a bowl of oatmeal? How about some diced up fruit? How about something that's got some real nutrition in it? And then what, for lunch? What are you going to have for lunch? You know, you need your bread. You need your meat. You know, your food pyramid. I'm not on this myplate.gov thing. You know, the food pyramid. You need your breads and grains, your meat, your dairy, your fruits and vegetables, you know, and that stuff is what's giving you nutrition. And that's how life is. Life is a lot, at the bottom of the life pyramid. Okay, you talk about the food pyramid? The life pyramid. At the bottom is work. Work.
Right.
Working. Doing things that matter. Doing things that have value. Reading. Studying. Working. Accomplishing something. Okay? And then at the very top, that one that's fats and oils, that's your fun right there at the tip of the pyramid, okay? So, any questions? So, where did I even turn? Psalm 127? Now, this is a great chapter. People think of this chapter because it talks a lot about how children are a blessing. You know, we talk about having children. He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now when the Bible uses the word house, a lot of times it's talking about the family. A lot of times it's talking about God's house, the church. But when he says the house, sort of like he was of the house of David. Means that he was of that family, he was of that lineage. It says that, verse number 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So is this saying wait till you're really old to have kids? It says no, it's a blessing to have children in your youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. But this is not what the world's going to tell you. The world's going to tell you, waste your 20s, waste your brain, drink, get drunk, take drugs, sleep around, you know, party. And this is what they call it, live life to the full. That's living life to the full? Some atheist guy, I think it was what's that guy's name, Richard Dawkins or something? What's that guy's name? Richard Dawkins? He said, people ask him, like, why are you such an atheist? Like, if you don't believe in God, and I've heard a lot of people make quotes like this, that said, you know, if you don't believe in God, what is going to benefit society or help people by going around announcing to them that God doesn't exist? Why are you so against God? Why do you want to prove to everybody that God isn't real? And this is what Richard Dawkins said. Well, because the problem is that if people believe in God, if they believe in, you know, heaven and afterlife, they're not going to live their life to the full. They're going to waste their life. And he said, because if they realize that this life is all they've got, then they're going to live it to the full. And do what with it? Do what? What is God telling you not to do? What that God told you not to do would you call living life to the full? Yeah, well, I mean, if you believe in the Bible, you're not going to commit adultery. And then you're missing out on so much fun in life. Of destroying your marriage and destroying other people's marriages and destroying your body. Oh, and you're not going to be able to steal. You can't commit murder. You can't be a sodomite. You can't fill your body with disease if you think that God's real. What is it that God is telling you not to do that is so wonderful that would be living life? Richard Dawkins, you're an animal, Richard. You are an animal. You even go around telling everybody you're an animal. You're a glorified ape. You're like an ape that shaved all the hair off his body and put a suit on. That's what you think you are. That is not living life to the full. Living life to the full is doing the only thing that matters with your life, which is serving God with your life.
Amen.
There is no meaning to this life. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. You come from the dust and you go and return to the dust. There is no purpose. There is no meaning. Except for when it comes to the things of God. Except for when it comes to the fact that there is a God. We're made in the image of God. There is heaven. The Super Bowl has no meaning. It's true. I don't even know who's playing. And whoever wins, it means nothing. I mean, do you think that some alignment is going to happen in the universe because of who wins the Super Bowl? Do you think that there's joy in the presence of the angels of heaven over one Super Bowl that he winneth? No, it's not there. There's no value. It's meaning. It's vanity. And people get all excited about it. Yeah! Woo! And then the next day it's like, back to work. Oh, this hangover. Why? Because it has no meaning. They come to church, and then the same people come to church. And then Super Bowl. It's ridiculous. It means nothing. It's vanity. But not only that, don't waste your youth. But also, you know who else wastes a lot of time? Not only the very young, but the very old. Those who are old often waste their life. And they don't use it to the fullest. And I don't mean like Richard Dawkins to the fullest. Being a pervert, breaking all of God's rules, you know, hurting other people and all the things that the Bible tells you not to do. But using it to the fullest as of serving God to the fullest, earning rewards in heaven. Paul said this in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 4, you don't have to turn there. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's talking about the departure of death. He says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. He's saying, my time of departure is at hand. Why? Because I finished my course, that's why. And let me tell you something. If you are still alive, and I don't care whether you're 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, if you are still alive on this earth, it's because God has a purpose for you to be here, and He has works for you to do that He has before ordained that you should walk in them. And when you're done with the work that God has for you, when you finish your course, He'll bring you home to be with Him. When there is no purpose for you to be on this earth, He'll bring you to heaven to be with Him. And you'll be ever with the Lord for all eternity. But wait a minute. If you're still here, there's purpose. Some of the men in the Bible did their greatest works in their later years. I'm glad that Moses didn't retire at age 80. Because that's when he started doing the most for God. Now, when he was 40 years old, he killed somebody with his bare hands and had to flee the country. But when he was 80 years old, he came back and said, "Let my people go." At 80 years old. And he served God powerfully from the time he was 80 to the time he was 120. Caleb, the man who was 40 when he should have gone into the promised land, at age 85, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and 5 years of battling in Canaan, he said, "I want that mountain." He picked the hardest battle. He picked the mountain that was the most difficult to defeat, the most formidable foe, and he said, "I'm 85 years old, but as my strength was then when I was 40, so is my strength now, both to go out and to come in. I want that mountain." And nobody argued with him, and he went and took it at 85. He did his greatest works. But many, when they got to 85, would look at that and say, "You know what? I'm in my twilight years. It's time to pull my socks up real high. It's time to play golf. It's time to retire. It's time to drive around in an RV, you know, looking at everything." You know what? Honestly, there's more to life than just retirement. There is no discharge from this war, the Bible says. You are in this for life. Serve God until the end, all the way to the finish line. Don't waste your youth and don't waste your old age. Use every phase of your life for what God wants you to use it for. Don't waste your time. But not only that, there's wasting your substance. Go to Luke 15. Luke 15. So we saw, don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. While you're turning to Luke 15, let me mention this on the subject of wasting your time. There's a lot of time in the day that we waste. Now think about it. Every day has 24 hours in it, right? Well, let's say you sleep for 8 hours. You get your beauty rest for 8 hours. And let's say you work for 8 hours. Does that not give you another 8 hours every day that's at your disposal? And you say, "Well, I got to eat." Okay, well, let's say you eat, you get ready. Let's say you eat a half hour, three meals for a half hour each. Okay? Well, that right there still leaves you 6.5 other hours in the day. You say, "Well, I got to brush my teeth and shower and get ready." Okay, that half hour. It doesn't take me that long. It takes me about 5 minutes. Can you tell by looking at me? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so you got 5 or 6 hours every day. I mean, let's say you get up, you go to work in the morning, you get there at, let's say you start at 7, you know, and you get out of there at about 3:30 or something. That's a typical schedule. You know, everybody's got a different schedule. But you know, you got from 3:30, you got the whole rest of your afternoon and evening. What do you do with it? You're fooling around, you plop it, you're not tired. You know, you plop down in front of the sofa and watch TV. The TV is what's making you tired. TV makes you tired. Staring at an electronic screen, even a computer screen, makes you tired. I don't envy you. If you have a job where you sit in front of a computer for 8 hours a day, I do not envy you. You know, and if you do, I'm not criticizing you at all. I'm just saying you're probably tired at the end of work. You know, a lot of people think, "Oh, yeah, I want one of those easy office jobs, right? Just sit in front of you." No, that's hard work. I'd rather any day of the week be out there working. I'd rather be out physically working. Now, I do both in my job. Both for my fire alarm business involves a lot of out in the field working, turning the screwdriver, pulling wire, doing conduit and stuff like that. And it also involves a lot of office time. Ask me which one I like more. I like doing the work. I don't like the computer, office, paperwork, white-collar side. I like the blue-collar side, personally. And then with church, it's the same thing. Church involves a lot of just paperwork and numbers and record keeping and organizing and stuff like that. And then it also involves, you know, being out in the field, soul winning, being behind the pulpit, preaching. You know, ask me which one I like more. You know, the one where I'm physically working or the one where, you know, because
sitting around in front of a computer screen can make you tired. Yesterday I had to do a bunch of paperwork for my business in front of the computer. I was really tired. Just because it drains you. Okay, so this is what people do. They go to work and then they sit in front of the TV and just drain them of energy. Just drains them. You know, there's other ways that you could entertain yourself after. Let's say you're tired. You say, but I'm on my feet all day, Pastor. I need to rest. Well, then sit down and read a book and learn some. Sit down and read your Bible and learn something from the Bible. Sit down and talk to your family. Sit down and do something that has some kind of a value. Learn something that you need to learn that's going to help you. Don't just waste your time. And, you know, get out and do some soul winning if you got a bunch of extra time. You know, I mean, get out there. Maybe you have a sit-down job. Get out there and walk around and win some souls. Get some exercise. And so forth. You see, there are so many things you could be doing with that extra time you have every day. You could be memorizing the Bible. You could be reading the Bible. You could be spending time with your family. Talking. You could be teaching your children. You could be spending time with your spouse. You could be reading a book that could give you knowledge that could help you serve God or help you get a better job or do better at your current job. You could do so many things. And yet people just waste their time. There's 168 hours in the week. You work for 40 hours. You sleep for 56? So you got all this extra time. What are you doing with it? Oh man, I can't go to church. I'm just too busy. So you don't have 3.5 hours for church? You don't have a couple hours to go soul winning? What are you doing with all that time? You can't show up a little early for church on Wednesday night and do some soul winning? You can't show up on Sunday afternoon and do some soul winning? Look, what are you doing with all that time? I'll tell you what you're doing with it. You're wasting it. Now, you might work 3 jobs. That's another story, but that's probably not who I'm talking to this morning. I'm talking to a lot of people who, and still there's no excuse for missing church and soul winning, because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. But honestly, you know what you're doing? You're sitting on YouTube. You're sitting on a TV, watching TV. You're playing video games. Okay, you're fooling around. You're wasting time on stuff that doesn't matter. You say, Pastor Anderson, but I you know, you've uploaded 1,000, you know. But notice, I upload 1,000 videos to YouTube of preaching that people might hear God's word preached. I haven't watched 1,000 videos on YouTube. Okay, I upload 1,000 videos to YouTube. I'm not going to sit and watch all the junk that's on YouTube. Okay, now I might occasionally watch a YouTube video like on my phone, like on a long trip or sitting around or something, when I have some time to sit around. But honestly, you know, if you're just sitting for hours and hours watching everything on YouTube, you know, and you're sitting around on Facebook and you're playing Farmland and Castle Land and Join My Virtual Mafia and My Virtual Crime Family and Join My Virtual Rabbit Breeding Facility or whatever. I don't even know what it is. I've never done any of it. But isn't there a lot of stuff like that out there? Yeah. Petland, Farmland, Castle Land. You know, and it's funny because some people literally, they go into these virtual realities and they build whole businesses. If they put that much effort in, they could probably build a real business and make a lot of money. But they pay. They pay to build a farm. Because I saw at the store, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I saw at the store in the checkout aisle, there were little gift cards where you're buying stuff for your virtual farm. Is that real? Am I wrong about that?
That's right.
I saw it at the gas station. They were selling like a gift card. You buy this for your farm. Here's an idea. Instead of buying that for your farm, why don't you go to the garden store and buy some real fertilizer? And then you can actually plant a garden in your yard. And then you might actually get to eat something. You know? Maybe you could eat some. Look, see, gardening would have some real value because you could actually grow some healthy, nutritious food to eat. Whereas when you're just spending hours a day on your virtual farm and you're spending hours a day feeding that cow, you know, virtually. I mean, get a real cow. Milk that sucker. You know, get something out of it. You know what I mean? It's just, you're saying, oh, you're trying to ruin my fun. Okay, but you know what, though? You're having way too much fun. When you're spending hours a day on this mindless fun. Okay? You say, well, I got nothing to do all day. Then you're not very creative of a person. Do you have kids? Then you should have plenty to do. Cooking them nutritious food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner is going to take a lot of time. Ask my wife how much time it takes. She makes the food from scratch, and it takes a long time. But guess what? It's healthy. It's good for you. Nutritious. Cleaning the house. You know, you say, well, I'm a woman. I sit home all day. Clean the house. Cook nutritious food. How about this? Teach your children how to read. I know that's like pulling teeth. But teach them, train them, talk to them, play a game with them. Instead of just, you know, oh, shut up. Shut up. My cow is getting lean. I don't know why. I keep feeding it. It won't put on, my virtual cow is not putting on weight, and I'm not getting enough milk out of it. Leave me alone. Shut up. Okay, so what am I saying? And again, I'm not telling you what to do. You know what? If you want to spend your life on a video game, go ahead. I'm not telling you not to. I'm not saying that you're sinning by feeding a virtual cow. I don't see any commandment that says thou shalt not do it. But what I am saying is that it's a waste of your time if that's what you spend your life on. If you spend 20 minutes on it, have a good laugh, and then shut it down. But these things are addictive. Now, I was talking to Scott about this. When I was a kid, the video games were so bad, you didn't get addicted to them because they were so boring. They were so stupid. You know, Pong and Pac-Man, you can only play it so many times. Right. You'd play it if you're like, okay, let's go play outside. Let's go ride our bikes. Nowadays, these video games are... And when I was a teenager, I started getting sucked in. Because when I was a teenager, the video games got so much more advanced that you get more sucked into them, you know? It wasn't just like this little square moving on the screen. That's fun for about 5 minutes. Okay? Beware of these things, my friend. Because these are the devil's tools in many cases to suck away all your time so that you don't work enough hours at your job, so that you don't spend enough time out soul winning, so that you don't go to church when you're supposed to, so that you don't read your Bible like you should. You know, when you roll out of bed and you're going like this, you know, and you're checking out your farmland instead of checking out God's Word, there's a problem. See what I mean? It's sucking up your time. So don't waste your time. Use your time wisely. Is there a time for fun? Yes, as the icing on the cake. But that is not the meat and potatoes of your lifestyle. Okay? So be careful of that. Beware of these time wasters, these things that suck away all your time. But I had you turn to Luke 15. I'm almost done. I'll quickly blow through this. He said, a certain man had two sons, verse 11, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So there's two sons, and one of them says, I want my inheritance now. I'm leaving, I'm moving out, and everything that is going to come to me when you die, I don't want to wait till you die. I want it right now. Give me my inheritance. So he says, okay, he divides unto them his living. And in verse 13 it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, here's a guy who wasted his substance. He's wasting his money. He got all of his money that he was going to get when his dad passed away. He gets all the money up front, and then he goes out and wastes it all. And how did he waste it? With riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And the Bible says that, the foolish man spendeth all that he hath. You know, and you just blow everything that you've got. And that's what this guy did. And what did he spend his money on? Riotous living, partying, having fun. He drank it all. He spent it all on fun times and so forth. You know, we need to be wise stewards of our money. The Bible says, he also that is slothful in his work, someone who's lazy at their work, is brother to him that is a great waster. God says those who are very wasteful are similar to those who are lazy about work. Why? Because people who work hard for their money, they appreciate their money, and they don't waste it on dumb things. You say, well, what do you mean dumb things? Like riotous living. Like wasting it on partying. Like wasting it on fun. When they ought to be using it, look what this guy, he didn't buy food. He didn't buy the food that he needed. Instead, he went out and just partied and wasted all the money. You see, if he got that whole giant inheritance, he could have used it to buy a house. He could have used it to buy a vineyard or buy a farm or buy something where he could get food and get some kind of... He could have owned the pigs. Instead of desiring to be fed with the husks that the swine did eat, look what it says in verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave it him. He could have owned the pig. Forget eating the husks that the swine eats. Let's eat the swine. He could have slaughtered the pig and made sausages out of it and been eating good for at least a long time. But instead, he wasted all his money. He blew it all, and then he wants somebody else to take care of him and give it to him. Well, guess what? Nobody's going to give it to him. Because when hard times come, you know, people don't want to give you what they have. Say, oh, but this poor guy, he doesn't have anything. Give him food. Give him money. The person who prepared and had it, they're going to be like, no way. I worked hard. You know, I'm not going to bail you out. You just want all this free stuff. Right or wrong, that's what happened in this story. People didn't want to give him anything. And so they had him go feed the swine. They gave him a very bad job, making very little money, doing a very dirty job. And that's what he had to do with. Why? Because he wasted his life. He wasted his money. He wasted his substance. You say, what's a good use of my money? Well, a good use of your money is buying good food, buying a place to stay, buying durable clothing, as the Bible says. Okay, that's a good use of your money. And also, obviously, you know, you're supposed to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's talking about tithing. People are. It's funny how many people are against tithing these days. I've noticed that the exact same people who are against tithing are the exact same people who are against going to church. Because you know who starts this movement of saying tithing is not biblical? It's all the people who don't go to church. Because you know what I always ask whenever I hear about people that claim that they're serving God and living for God, but they don't go to church anywhere, I always ask, well, where are they tithing? I mean, if you're not going to church, where are you tithing? Well, they're sending it. No, it doesn't say send the tithe. It says bring the tithe. Not send it. Bring it. And so right there, you can see that the people who have this movement of saying, oh, tithing is not biblical, tithing's wrong, are the same people who are telling you that, you know, we're all part of the universal church. You know, we don't have to go to a local church. We don't need to join a church. We don't need to be a part of a physical gathering of believers. We don't need a pastor. And they'll say pastors are unscriptural. Well, what are all those chapters with all the qualifications for the bishop then? Who is that guy that has to meet all these qualifications? Some figment of somebody's imagination? Some guy that doesn't exist? Oh, having a pastor isn't biblical. Then who is that guy that's not supposed to drink and that's supposed to be the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly? Who is that guy? He doesn't exist, according to them. No, he does exist. He's called a bishop or an elder or a pastor. And so the thing is, we need to not waste our money and waste our substance. Now, here's the thing. I don't consider myself a cheapskate. Now, you know, husbands and wives, they come to an agreement about finances, right? Because of the fact that we don't have separate finances in my family. It's all mine. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have separate finances. Okay? I have the final say because the husband's the head of the home. Now, therefore, since I have the final say because the husband's the head of the home, you know, my wife, she wants to buy stuff. Right? Now, that's fine because she's the one who does the buying. I do the earning. She does the buying. That's as it should be. I don't want to go shopping. I don't want to go to the grocery store. I don't want to go out and shop. I got married to avoid doing all that stuff. Okay? So I don't want to. When I go in the grocery store, I don't even know. I'm like, I don't even know what. I have to stop and ask somebody to guide me and show me where stuff is. I don't know where anything is in that grocery store. So my wife does the buying, and I do the earning. I don't go out and spend money. I'm usually making the money. Okay? Now, that's as it should be. Not a criticism of anyone. Just men make the money, women do the shopping. So then there becomes an interaction between the two of, you know, here's what I want to buy, and here's the money that I brought home, you know, and you got to make that work, right? Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Everybody who's married does. Everybody who's not married is like, oh, what are you talking about? Yeah. People that are married know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not a cheapskate. I'm not always telling my wife, you know, you need to feed us on $40 a week. There's eight of us. There's eight people in our family. $40 a week for groceries for eight people. Make it work. Okay, no, it's not, you know, you can't do that. So I have to give her enough money to work with. You know what I mean? So I try to give her enough money to buy the food, to buy what we need, and so forth. Okay? But here's the thing. I like to be generous, too, with my wife if I can, and try to, you know, as much as I can provide. Okay? But here's one thing that I can't stand is wasting money. You know, if there's something legitimate that she needs to purchase, some legitimate item in the kitchen or something that's gonna be helpful and that's gonna help us to save money and to eat healthy, and some legitimate tool is needed in the kitchen or elsewhere in the house, okay? I don't mind forking over the money to get her what she needs so that she can do what she needs to do in the kitchen, or legitimate clothing needs, or legitimate whatever the case may be. Everybody know what I'm talking about? But when it's, oh, can we buy this special, you know, tray? It's a special platter tray thing that goes in the oven, and it's $20, and it's just to make this one thing that we make once a year, and it needs a special tool. I'm like, no. Because if you go to Bed Bath & Beyond today, there will be so many kitchen things. I mean, if you had everything that Bed Bath & Beyond sold for the kitchen, you wouldn't have any room in your kitchen to cook in. I mean, just for eating corn on the cob, there was a whole display that rotated of every, you know, this strips the corn off the cob for you. This is, you know, these are little things to stab in the ends of the corn so you don't have to put your fingers in the butter. This is a thing for chopping the corn cobs in half. This is for cooking the corn. You know, I don't need a whole section of my kitchen to be just dedicated to corn on the cob. Like, well, oh, it goes over there in the corn on the cob cupboard. And there's a whole cupboard with everything that Bed Bath & Beyond sells. But you know what? Women, they love to get cool gadgets for the kitchen. You know, men love tools, right? We love to get new tools and power tools and hand tools. You know, we always love getting tools. Okay, well, they love getting tools for their job, too. But wait a minute, some of these tools can be a little wasteful when it's just something that works for one special thing. It makes this one dessert that we eat once a year, so I've got to have it. I'm like, no, we don't. We're just going to skip that. Because, you know, pots and pans, yeah, let's get them. Plates, forks, knives, a blender, yeah, that's stuff we're going to use. But special tools for this, that, and the other? You know, wait till somebody gets you those for Christmas or something as a little fun thing. So that's what I mean. Like, I don't want to be a cheapskate, but at the same time, I hate wasting money. And sometimes, you know, we're looking at a purchase, and I look at it and just say, this is a waste of money. This is a waste. We don't need this. This is excessive. It's frivolous. It's not needed. Because you see, money does not grow on trees. Actually, you know, paper money does because it's made out of paper and paper comes from wood and wood comes from trees. But that's not real money. But the thing is, money, you know, you have to work hard to earn it. Money represents your time, your life. And if you waste your money, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. So use your money for things that have value. Use your money to provide for your family. You know, husbands, don't go out and blow all your money on fun times and then tell your wife, sorry, we don't have any money for groceries this week. But you got money for all the fun. You know, use your money for things that the Bible talks about. That's what I would say. And look, if you have more money to buy extra things that are fun, great. But use your money. Don't waste money. Money is valuable. Money has value, and it can be used for things to make your family's life better and healthier and happier. Don't waste money. Don't waste anything. What, you know, I've got a lot more in my notes, but I'm going to close with this. Just don't waste anything. Because people who waste stuff, it just shows they don't appreciate it. And God said, don't waste your time. Redeem your time. Use every minute for the honor and glory of God. He said, whether you eat, therefore, or drink, do everything to the glory of God. Everything you do should have a purpose and a meaning. Tiny bit of recreation and fun time has a purpose of maybe unwinding or blowing off a little steam. But that should be rare. That should be just a fun treat, not just every minute of every day. Don't waste your youth. Don't waste your old age. Don't waste your brain. Don't waste your money. Just don't waste your food. I mean, eat the crust. It's that simple, folks. If you don't eat the crust, you're wasteful. You're throwing away good, nutritious food. And it isn't right. And the Bible says, now, there's always going to be a little waste, but the Bible says, he that's a great waster, that's like being lazy. That's like being slothful at your work. Don't waste. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you so much for this this principle in Scripture. Help us to put it into practice in our lives. Help us not to waste our lives just playing and having fun and playing video games and watching videos and fooling around. Help us not to just live a life of all fun. Help us spend our time studying and working and learning and reading and spending time with our family, our children, working, cleaning, whatever the case is. Help us to spend our time on things that matter. And to redeem our time, help us spend our time soul winning and in church and singing praises to you. And also help us not to waste money, dear God. Times are tough and money is scarce. Help us not to just flush money down the toilet, dear God, but help us rather to buy things that matter and things that are useful and things that you would want us to have. And help us not to waste our time in church, but help us help the preaching to be biblical and help the singing to be honoring and glorifying to you. Help none of it to be wasteful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's quickly sing one verse of one song before we go. Let's sing just one verse only of 361. Did you think to pray? Talking about first thing in the morning, this is a good song about praying when you first wake up in the morning. Instead of, you know, first thing in the morning, you know, whatever wasteful TV, you know, radio, video game, whatever, you know, like before you, or maybe it's, does anybody still read a newspaper anymore? I don't know if they even still exist, you know, the way things have gone, but technologically. But you know what? This ought to be before the newspaper. This is more important than, you know, the big news of the day. So let's sing this. 361. Did you think to pray? 361.